Our Father who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, in earth as it is in heaven. Father, give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our sins as we forgive those who sin against us. And lead us not into temptation, Father, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever. Amen. Amen. Hey. Greetings to you once again, my brothers and my sisters in Christ Jesus. I greet you from the morning island rush hour nation of Sri Lanka, where I got a little bit of a longer drive this morning, so got a little bit more time to connect and to share. You know, the Spirit is always speaking in us, always speaking through us, despite what's going on with us. You know, there are seasons in the life of a follower of Christ. Seasons because as God has called us to live the abundant life, He's also called us into a life of change and transitions. As something, as you go from glory to glory, strength to strength, from what you once were apart from Him to what you are now, fully consummated and growing in Him. And there's a difference, and there's a transition, and there's a lot of other stuff that comes along with that. Now, you know, God kind of showed me this a long time ago, where, you know, when Jesus did a lot of walking on the earth. You know, He walked around and went to a lot of different places. And when you walk with somebody, the thing that remains constant is that person that you're with, the company that you keep. The thing that changes is everything else. Your surroundings change. The climate might change. The experiences that you have might change just because of what the varying circumstances that you're in. But the company remains the same. And so when Jesus, you know, said, you know, to even His disciples, "Go ye therefore into all the earth and preach the good news," you know, to every creature, baptizing them in the name of the Father, Son, and the Holy Spirit, in the name of Jesus. Yes, you know, "Lo ye, and surely I am with you, even to the very end of the age." You know, He basically, wherever they went, following Jesus and following His Spirit, they were going to a place and a destination where His Spirit, His life, was accompanying them in that process, because they were walking with Him in obedience. And in walking with Him in obedience, you can be assured of His company. And when you have His company, look, that's all you need. When you have the company, the indwelling of the Spirit of God, His leadership, His direction in your life, that is all that you need. Because the rest of it really doesn't matter too much. Look, you know, that's why when Moses, you know, when he was facing a challenge of going into, he was in the desert, in the wilderness, and God said, "All right, you know what, you guys are taking me off, I'm going to send my angel ahead of you, and he'll clear out the promised land for you guys, you guys just go in and take it over, but I don't want to go with you." And what did Moses say? He said, "Lord, I don't want to go nowhere unless you're going with us. I don't want to move from this place unless you're with us." Why? Because he had come to know and to understand the absolute dire need of our soul for the presence and the accompanying of the Spirit of God. Once you've tasted and seen that the Lord is good, you can't go on without Him. You can't move without Him, because you have now what you need for your soul. And so a follower of Christ is one that, you know, your soul is consummated with Him, and you can't be without Him. You are so completely in love with Him that you will go wherever He wants you to go. You will do whatever it is that He wants you to do. You will say whatever it is that you, whatever it is that He would have you to say. Even as Jesus said, "I only do what I see the Father doing." Yes, you only do what you see the Father doing. Out of obedience and out of love, not out of, you know, condemnation, or rules, or you need to do a 2-year mission program now that you're 18 and that's the way that it works. Excuse me. No, nothing like that. No, it's just out of love. Whatever he says, you will do. Wherever he wants you to go, you will go. Because you love him. And he's yours and you're his. And that's all. And that's all that you want. That's all that you need. So, you know, when you walk in that, you have his presence with you day in and day out in all that you do and all that you think and all that you say. But then there are seasons, and this is what people got to understand. There are times when you may feel his presence really, really close, and you know, the warmth of his spirit wrapping you up, and everywhere that you go you're enraptured with his love. Yeah, you get that. You also get seasons and times where things get quiet and it's hard to understand and you're confused, and that which you thought should work in your natural mind and it looked like all the pieces were there, and all of a sudden it just falls apart and you're like, well, what? You want to know? But that's there too. You know, all these things come. Oh, and there's all kinds of other stuff. But all these things come for a reason. Because part of that reason is that they break us to the point of complete and total and utter dependence on him. Period. There is nowhere else you can go. There's nowhere else that you can go. There's nothing else that you can do. He's it. He's everything. He's all that you want, all that you need. And whatever it is that comes, that's what it is that comes. And you will go with it. You are completely and totally and utterly sold on him. There's nothing else. You're bought and paid for by the blood of Christ. That's it. And, you know, I in this whole process, you got to trust him. Because, you know, there's so many things that come against and challenge our trust in him. Challenge in your mind your thoughts towards the goodness of God. You know, it's like somebody going to, that needs an essential surgery. And the doctor is going to perform that. And as he's performing that essential surgery, and people that are watching saying, how cruel is this man? Look at what he's doing to this poor person. He's cutting them open. He's pulling pieces out. He's doing all of this. But they don't realize the big picture. They don't see that in the big picture, you know, there was something inside that was killing that person or wasn't functioning. And the doctor, the good-hearted, well-meaning, not the corrupt doctors that people know of in this world as well. No, the good-hearted person that has sworn, an oath, you know, to the health of every patient that would come through his door. And he, with all the diligence and skill and all the good efforts that he has, he is there doing what he can to save that person's life. And as he comes to the other side of it, and as that surgery is finished and successful and complete, and as that body rebuilds, that body then becomes, healthy again. You know, at the hands of a good physician. But if you just saw that snapshot, if you just saw that small piece, that hour in the surgery room, if that's what you saw, and that's all that you knew, and you, see, this is why, do not make a judgment. Do not make a judgment on the hand of God or the motives or the intentions of God. You know that God is good. All the time, as they say in the old school days, God is good all the time. All the time, God is good. Cliche, yes. But true. But God is good. The very nature and the core of his being is good. When they called, Jesus said, look, I mean, Jesus affirmed that. So, you know, in God's goodness, there's complexities that you and I, rather than trying to understand them with your natural mind, accept them with your spirit. I'll say that again. Rather than trying to understand them with your natural mind, accept them with your spirit. When you accept them, when you accept what God has for you in His hand, when you accept and receive what He has for you in His hand, you move from trying to pick the mind of God, as it were, and you'd be surprised how many people try to do that. And you move into the place where you actually have His Lordship in your life. See, when somebody is Lord over something, that means that He's the decision maker over something. That means that He's the trusted authority over something. So when somebody is Lord over something, He's the one making the decision. And whoever's under His Lordship is the one that is carrying out the decision, carrying out the commandment, fulfilling the desire and the request. And if the Lord of the house, or the Lord of that, whatever it is, if He decides to share more information with those subjects that He has, if He decides to, out of His good pleasure, to make things known as a friend, that's His prerogative, but not His requirement. A Lord is not required to make everything known unto His subjects. But His subjects are required to go forward in that Lordship's requests. Because see, here's the thing. The Lord knows much more than you and I do about the things going on. He knows much more about what it is that needs to be done, how it is that it needs to be done. He has all the pieces. He has all the information. So without trusting Him, and if you try to figure out His mind, or if you, worse yet, if you second guess Him and go the way of there's a way that seems right unto a man, but the end thereof are the ways of death. If you go that way, you're in trouble. You're in trouble. Because now He's not Lord, you are. And there's a lot of people that go their own way, do their own thing, call their own shots. And at the end of the day, it's trouble. Now God knows in your heart, if you are seeking His will, His desire, His leadership, His plan and purpose, or if you are going your own way, He knows that. And if you are one of His, and you're really genuinely seeking His plan and purpose, He will not let you strike your foot against a stone. God will intervene in what's going on with you, and will make things known unto you. But at the same time, you know, He's got a way also of letting people go their own way. You know, He's got a way of letting people have the results of their choices. You know, people get the eternal ramifications of their choice. They do. God gives people, lets people choose. You know, I heard somebody one time talking about this. You know, like, he said, God is pro-choice. And then he cleared it up. He said, God is pro-choice. You can choose to do whatever you want to do. You just can't choose the consequences. See, you can choose to do whatever you want. You just cannot choose the consequences. And most people, they want to choose, but they don't want the consequences of their choice. So God gives you that. That's why He tells you, choose life. Choose ye this day whom you will serve. That's why He gives you the option to pray. You know, Lord, Your kingdom come, Your will be done. To choose His will, not yours, every day. He gives you that. And you make that choice. You make that choice of what is going to happen in your life. You make the choice of His will or Your will be done in your life. You choose it. Is that a scary thing? You know, I think one thing that's scary for people is that a lot of people would rather not, they would rather not have to be responsible for their choices. And so, accordingly, what a lot of people end up doing is a lot of people will look for somebody else to make the decision and the choice for them. And in the process of somebody else making the decision and the choice for them, then they want to blame that person for that. So when things don't work, now it's this person's fault. Oh, better yet, things haven't worked. They just haven't had time to go through and work. But they haven't had time to settle through. So just whenever the first little piece of adversity comes, the first sign of, no more pie in the sky, now they blame that person. Oh, it's really convenient. It's really convenient to blame somebody else for your situation. You know something? Your words have power. The confessions of your mouth have power. You know, I know there's been some New Age stuff that's been going around as well about this, but you know, where do you think they got it from? You know, God spoke and it came into being. God said, "Let there be light," and there was light. Where do you think they got it from? He said, "Let there be light," and there was light. So he spoke that which was not, and it became. Whose image are you made in? You're getting it. Whose image are you made in? Whose likeness are you made in? Are you an ambassador for something? Yes, you are. You're an ambassador for Christ. So, you being an ambassador for Christ, you have power. You being connected to the Spirit of God, you have power. If there's anybody walking on the face of this earth with power right now, it's you. It's you, because you are a follower of Christ. You are consummated with the big heavy. The biggest player in this whole thing, the strongest one in this whole thing, is Christ. And He is in you, and you are in Him. And in Him you live and move and have your being. So when you speak, what do you think happens? So that's why when you speak and you say words like, "It's hard," or "I'm confused," or "This is never going to work," or "I'm so sad," or "I'm so depressed," or "I'm this," or "I'm that," or when you speak those confessions over your life, what do you think happens? Oh, you know what? The enemy of your soul loves that. Loves that. Because out of the abundance of your heart, your mouth speaks. And if that's a condition that he's been able to push your heart into because of the external circumstances of your life that aren't quite rosy, and if you refuse to trust the Word of God and what He said about your life rather than your external circumstances, and you put that out there, you've given Him something to work with now. Look, simple thing. Guard the confessions of your mouth. Guard the things that come out of your mouth. And speak life. Speak life into the people that are around you. Speak life over your situations. Speak good things. Bless your children. If you got kids, bless them. If you've got friends, and I know you got friends, speak good of them. Speak good. Speak life. Let nothing corrupt you. Let nothing steal from you. There's no need. There's no need. Why? Look, the battle is the Lord's, not yours. What are you worried about? You've been striving and struggling and crying and whining like this whole thing is yours. It's not yours. You and I died to the world and are risen in Christ. That happened. So since that's already happened, what are you worried about? Look, when you and I, when we gave our hearts to Christ, this thing was over. From that point on, it's Him. So whatever it is that happens in this life, whether in the natural it's up or down or turned around, that's His prerogative. Because He's Lord, and He can choose to lead and guide you and put you in whatever situations that He desires for His glory and His purpose. That's His prerogative. And we should be grateful for that, that He uses us as a vessel for that. But at the same time, you know, you're along for the journey. So you have a heart and a mind that's there and active and experiencing all of these things. But let it just remain at that. Don't try to jump back into the driver's seat. Whatever it is that you struggle with, whatever it is that you face, settle your heart before the King of Kings to trust Him. Know that He knows what He's doing with you. Know that He knows where it is that He is leading and guiding you. Know that ultimately, despite whatever it is that you're facing, He has your best interest at heart, and He loves you. He truly, truly loves you. He loves you so much that He gave His life and He shed His blood just for your redemption. And it was His own blood, the blood of the pure, spotless Lamb of God, that was required for you and I to even have this life and connection, experience, understanding. And He's given that to us. He gave that to you. So if He loves you that much, can you imagine the extent to which that He will go for your joy to be complete and your fulfillment to be complete? He didn't come that you would have a paltry, screwed up, miserable life. What did Jesus say in John 10? I came that they might have life and that they might have it more abundantly. He came that you might have an abundant life. When? Later? No, today is the day of salvation. So He came that you might have it now. Okay, so if He came that you might have life more abundantly, that you might have an abundant life, and you're not experiencing the abundant life, you got to ask yourself something. Well, why not? What's missing? Now, if you are in the middle of a season of something, that's one thing, because God does do that. But if you are in a series of habitual patterns and cycles that the enemy's trapped you in that keep you from experiencing and receiving the joy of the Lord that is your strength and the blessing of God that is your destiny as a child of God, by the way, the blessing of God is your eternal inheritance and right. If something is keeping that from you, allow the Spirit of God to reveal what that is. You don't have to remain in that. There's no reason for you to be this suffering, okay, in this life, yes, people suffer, yes, but there's different kinds. And godly suffering is short-term and has a purpose and has eternal blessings and benefits for it. Worldly suffering is long-term and there's no benefit of it whatsoever, and it goes on and it's a waste. But you were not meant to wallow around. Rise up. You are a son and a daughter of the King of Kings. You belong to Him. And you have an eternal destiny that is part and parcel of your time here. Not just when you get out of here, by the way. Here. Because this life is a dressing room for eternity. It's all between here and there. This is it. And so in this life, you're going to have trouble. But take heart, for He's overcome. And in this life, why do you have trouble? Because you're walking with Him and you're moving into the eternal destiny that He's called you to, and all hell is breaking loose to try to stop you from that, because they don't want that. Okay, so, but you know what? They don't have enough power to stop you. If it is the case that you continue to move forward in Him and trust Him, they can, just like is you got to pray, and Lord, your kingdom come, your will be done, and you've got to surrender your will to His will. You also have to surrender your will to the enemy's will and the enemy's thoughts about your life, if it's the case that he's going to be able to keep you from the blessing of God. You got to also make that choice. So start with, all right, practically speaking, start with the confessions of your mouth and the things that you say. I'm not talking about name it and claim it. That is a twist and a perversion of what I'm talking about. What I'm talking about is speaking the Word of God and life into and over all that you're going through, over your life. Speak life into your life. Right now, I speak life into your life in Jesus' name. I speak the very fact that you are a child of God, destined to rule and reign with Him, destined to walk out this life in power and in His authority, doing the works of God on the earth and fulfilling His purposes in joy and in peace despite your external circumstances. I speak life into you, rise up right now. Rise up and live. And you know what? Be blessed this day. Be blessed in Him. So, hey, you know what, you guys? I love you. I absolutely love you guys out there. We're just grateful for you. We thank you for writing us. We know we got to get back to some of you. We try, but you know, just know that we do get the mails that come in, and you know, we appreciate you guys a ton. So also coming up, there's going to be about a week coming up where we probably won't be getting much broadcast or put up. You know, one member of the team that handles that piece is going to be he's going to be working on a couple things, and so we won't have a lot of new stuff coming up for about a week. But anyways, but when that happens, I think it's going to be after the 28th of this month. So yeah, there'll be about a week that, you know. So just check the archives. I'm sure there's some stuff in it that you haven't listened to, and it's all got the Spirit, so it's will be timely and appropriate for you. So, you know, in this process right now, just, you know, trust Him, and know that He has your life in control. Drop us an email. We do love to hear from you guys. We do love to know how you are. And, you know, it's encouraging. You guys are part of a fellowship that is absolutely global. We've gotten emails from, I think, pretty much every region of the world. And people write in. And it's amazing what God is doing around the world and in each and every one of your hearts. So we're just glad to be a part of that. We're glad for the part that God allows us to play in this. And we encourage you from our place on the wall to continue forward in what God has for you, because He truly loves you and is in control. And all things work together for the good of those who love God, the called according to His purpose. And that's you. So live in that, in Jesus' name. All right, hey, God bless you guys. Talk to you later. Keep on keeping on. All right, bye.